This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sauville, and Jason Bishop. That's the foursome to join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, a guy who played 11 years in the NFL. Now he's an analyst for Pro Football Focus. It's Bruce Gradkowski. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Bruce, I was just perusing your Twitter, and you were raving about Big Ben. You were his teammate for a while. You said that he made the type of throws that he was making last night all the time in practice. How good was he?
Yeah, you know, I was just happy to see him back. You know, anytime you come back from an injury, especially your throwing arm, you just never know how it's going to respond. You know, I had shoulder surgery towards the end of my career, and my shoulder never really got back to where I wish it was. So it was fun to see him watch, you know, fun to watch him last night slinging it around. And, you know, it was actually the touchdown pass to Juju Smith about, you know, versus cover zero blitz where he drifted back and just lofted it to the left side of the field. And I just remember in practice one time, Ben scrambling around, and he just fires one up really high in the sky. And I'm like, where's he throwing this one? All of a sudden, Antonio Brown runs under it, and it reminded me a lot of that. So it was good to see Ben get back in a groove. I think that Steelers team, man, they're going to be hard to beat this year, especially the way the defense plays. I mean, T.J. Watt's interception last night was pretty insane. To catch a pass that quick, the quick game, and stealing it like that. So I think the Steelers, man, they looked pretty sharp last night.
And, Bruce, watching Ben, it seemed like it took him a little while to get comfortable, and that's natural coming off an injury like that. But once he got dialed in, you talked about that lofted pass that he threw for a touchdown. I mean, he finishes 21 of 32, almost 230 yards, had the clean sheet, didn't throw any picks, only sacked twice. I mean, it looked like old-school Ben out there last night for the most part.
Yeah, no, it did. You know, and you said, I mean, he started off a little slow, but I think – with anything, coming back from an injury, not playing in over a year, there's going to be some nerves, and it's going to take a little time. It's almost like until you get hit for that first time. So once he did get in the groove, they had a nice little two-minute drill at the end of the first half, and he found his rhythm, you know, and I think the offense did good. They, you know, were able to establish the run a little bit as well. And like I talked about too, though, I think that defense is strong to where, you know, Ben doesn't have to do it all. Just play a clean game like he did last night, protect the football, and the big plays will come because defensively, they're going to force turnovers. A lot of continuity on that defensive side of the ball. 13 to 15 of their players with at least 200 snaps on defense last year are returning. So a lot of experience over there.
And they got speed at receiver, man. I mean, obviously Juju can run. Deontay Johnson, even though he fumbled that punt early, he can run. James Washington can run. So he's got threats. And they drafted Claypool. Now, Claypool's not a speedster. He's kind of a bigger possession guy. But he's got weapons that he can throw to.
And you throw in a red zone guy like Ebron, a new addition at tight end, too.
Yeah, no, you guys are right. I mean, the additions, you know, his weapons this year are pretty strong. I think, you know, Juju leads the way, the veteran wide receiver coming into his own, being that leader in that wide receiver group. And Deontay Johnson, he's a Toledo guy. You know, I have a lot of respect for him. And I love the way he bounced back last night. You know, you have a muffed punt early. He's done a fantastic job thus far, you know, getting to this point. But you don't want something like that to derail your confidence. And I thought, you know, it just shows a lot from Tomlin, too. Tomlin's not the type to, you know, one mistake happens and he benches you. And it was good to see Deontay come back, have a pretty strong game, solid game, and continue to get better because they do have weapons. Chase Claypool got involved, had that nice catch down the sideline, great concentration, dragging the feet, keeping them in. So you guys said it, man. They have weapons, and this is a good overall football team.
Joined by Bruce Gradkowski from Pro Football Focus, at BGradkowski5 on Twitter. You touched on the defense a couple times already. Bottling up Saquon is not an easy task. I mean, he's one of the most dynamic RBs in the league. And you know that as a Penn State guy, he gets fired up to play against the Steelers. 15 carries for 6 yards, average 0.4 yards per carry. So if they can carry that sort of momentum forward, that's a really good sign for that defense.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure they came into this game saying, look, we got to stop the run at Saquon Barkley. We cannot let him get started. Let's put it on Daniel Jones. And they did a good job. I actually thought, too, Daniel Jones looked pretty solid early on. There's a few plays he would like to have back, and I don't fault him for the Watt interception, but more so for the Cam Hayward one where he's scrambling out to the left. You're in the tight red zone. You feel Bud Dupree breathing down your neck. Do not try to twist and throw it. Just, you know, throw the ball away or try to run for a few yards to get out of a sack. But do not try to force it down there in the red zone. And it got tipped, and his arm got hit, went up in the air, and Cam Hayward picked it. So I think the Steelers did a good job of limiting Saquon Barkley. And it was just a solid performance overall by the Steelers team.
Bruce, we want to get your view on quarterbacks and quarterback play in week one. But I actually want to go back in the Wayback Machine with you while we have a chance. What was it like playing alongside Jamarcus Russell? How talented was he? What did you see from that guy? And did you know it was going to go south?
Yeah, you know, he definitely was a talented guy. I mean, standing at like 6'6", and at the time, probably 280, close to 300 pounds when I was with him. So he's a big overall guy. And he could just sling it. And so he had all the physical tools. And a lot of times, too, man, just young players in the league sometimes don't know what they're supposed to do or how to do it. And when I was with Jamarcus, who was trying to, you know, guide the way on how a quarterback should approach it, how you lead your football team. And guys want to see you first one in, last one to leave, watching film, knowing everything to do, knowing everyone's assignment, not just your own. And those are things that, you know, come with time and experience and confidence. And, but man, I'll tell you what, one time it was pretty funny. We're trying to get Jamarcus to watch, you know, every Tuesday we have a day off right in the NFL. And that's usually the day you prepare for the team coming up. So we brought over game film to his house, you know, on a Tuesday to try to, you know, watch some film, start talking about the team we're about to play. But on the way over, I swung by Wendy's, picked up like 10 junior bacon cheeseburgers. I figured that might make it go easier to watch some film.
10?
I'm sure that tasted good.
Yeah, he's a big fella, man.
I'm sure I played a part in helping to eat some of those as well. So,
hey, Bruce, wonder what he's doing now. Do you have any idea?
No, I do not. I don't know what he's up to now, but who knows, man? It's crazy because time in the NFL just goes so fast. You know, NFL stands for not for long for us players and even coaches. And you know, hopefully, you know, he saves some money and you know, and then you try to find your next passion. But it's hard, man. It's hard being out of the game.
Right. Bruce, can you give us a time in either college or pros when you were close to a zone like Gardner Minshew was in this past weekend where he went 19 for 20? He had a quarterback rating of 142. He threw three touchdowns to three different receivers to lead the Jags to the upset of the Colts this past weekend. That raised some eyebrows, that performance.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I was kind of surprised, you know, and I loved it because I think Minshew's the guy that in the locker room, he just has that it factor. He's a good leader. The guys want to play with him. He's just a grinder out there. He'll find a way to make it happen. And I thought he played a really good, clean, efficient game. You know, last year for Minshew, he makes his splash plays. You know, he's fun to watch, run around and extend plays, but he also fumbled in the pocket a lot. And, you know, I saw the other day that he protected the ball, made smart decisions, got to his checkdowns, and some of those big plays did come and did happen. And what a win for the Jaguars for everything they've been through this offseason.
Bruce, is Baker Mayfield getting worse?
Yeah, it's just tough, man. Like, you know, grading all his game, all the throws this past weekend, you know, I just saw a lot of stuff that I saw last year. You know, miscommunications, lack of details in the protection game, in the passing game. And sometimes you put too much pressure on your shoulders. As a quarterback, you just have to execute the offense. Sometimes you try to do too much. So I think Mayfield just has to bring it back in, realize he does not have to do too much, just operate the offense, rely on the weapons around you, and things will come. I do believe he's a good quarterback and can get things going over there in Cleveland. You just have to reel it back in a little bit, take one step, one play at a time, because the missed throws that happened the other day, some were miscommunications. He might have thought his receiver was doing a little bit of this or coming out of a break a different way than he actually did. And look, we had no preseason. We've just had a training camp. So I would expect him to get it right and play better. And I wouldn't worry too much just with week one.
All right, let's talk about Haskins here. What did you see in the first week? Here's what I was telling the guys. What I see is I don't see a guy who's ever going to be – maybe I'm wrong, but this is my – having seen him last year and this year, he's not going to be a guy that goes like 26 to 30. He's you know, he's not going to have a 70% completion percentage at the end of the year, but he's going to be more streaky. I like his toughness. I like that he doesn't seem to get down. He keeps firing. I think there's something to work with there, but I just think he's going to be more of a streaky type thrower.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, a valid point. I think the big thing for Haskins this weekend was everything we've heard about his leadership. And I think, you know, when you're down and you find a way to come back, not necessarily that it was Washington, but, man, the Eagles were just so bad. I mean, Carson Wentz missed so many throws that I was actually very surprised. Right. But I do think it's a lot to say. Dwayne Haskins, a young player, I think he's got a great leader there with Ron Rivera. So he's going to be taught the right way how to lead this team. And Kenny Zampezi, quarterback coach, I played with him in Cincinnati. So they're going to do a good job. And I think they don't want to put everything on Dwayne Haskins. He just has to manage the ship. So for him to play well, that's protecting the football, no fumbles in the pocket, don't force Aaron throws in there, let the game come to you. And I think big things can happen. You know, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see him try to make all the big splash plays. And I also think with Alex Smith there, that'll really help the development of Dwayne Haskins.
Bruce, you kind of touched on this, but no preseason, new offensive coordinator, new quarterbacks coach. I don't know how many quarterbacks coaches and offensive coordinators you played with, probably 10 or 11. How difficult is it to learn a new system and get familiar with it?
You know, it's tough. It's like learning a new language, you know, and I said it before leading in for the this past weekend with the Tampa Bay and Brady playing Drew Brees and the Saints. I said, look, it's Tom Brady, I know, and he's a beast, and he's mentally tough, he's smart, he works hard. But it's different learning a new offense because all the little nuances. You know, if you're in the shotgun and you have to change the mic pointer, the protection slide from going to the right now to the left, you know, in his old offense, they could have called it Larry, and now it might be called Leo. And the route adjustments, you know, just the miscommunication with him and Mike Evans. You know, there's little nuances in every offense that it takes time to get used to. And also you have to process that in the heat of the battle, in you know, situational football moments, a key third down, red zone. And that's when, you know, you have to process it. It takes some time, you know. And it's, even though it's Tom Brady, it takes time to be in a new offense to be that comfortable. I thought – we saw a lot of good things from Brady over the weekend. I think like arm strength and ability, I mean, that's all there. Now it just has to clean up the miscommunications and so forth. But, you know, it's cool to see. But, yeah, that's why I worried about Daniel Jones last night. Is learning a new offense is not easy. It's like learning a whole new language.
Bruce, I'm curious, in all your years on all the teams you played for, Do you have a favorite offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach who you thought was just the best and just blew you away?
I was with actually John Gruden. John Gruden drafted me in 06 and in Tampa Bay. And I'll tell you what, he's one of the best teachers I've been around, and he's so animated.
Was Jay there that year?
Jay was around too. He was also coaching arena football at the time, uh-huh. So his full gig wasn't with Tampa Bay. But Jay Gruden was my offense coordinator in Cincy. So a lot of rapport with the Gruden brothers. But I think, you know, John is super animated and fun and a great teacher. So I was blessed to be around him.
Was Jay hitting happy hour 5 days a week like he was here?
Yeah. You know, Jay's a good dude, and him and John are like total opposites. Like, John, you feel like you're playing on eggshells and everything's got to be perfect. With Jay, he's played the position, he knows how it is, and he's a little more laid back, that the communication was a little bit easier. But, yeah, so I got to experience both Gruden brothers, which was fun.
Hey, Jay was a 9-point underdog this weekend, and his quarterback threw one incompletion. He's doing something right down there.
Outright winner.
That's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, man, Jay, you know, going from head coach, offense coordinator, he's back in the groove, and he's got Minshew. I know Minshew's got to be his guy.
Yep. Good stuff.
All right, Bruce. Appreciate the time. He's an analyst now with Pro Football Focus. Hope we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Appreciate it.
I like Bruce.
Pro Football Focus Tuesday, every Tuesday at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies. All right, we had the breaking news earlier about the new Capitals coach. We'll talk to our guy Alan May, Caps insider for NBC Sports Washington, get his take on Peter Laviolette becoming the new Capitals coach here on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, efforting connecting with Alan May to get his take on Peter Laviolette becoming the next head coach of the Washington Capitals. While we're trying to track him down, I think maybe we had a little miscommunication with texting and that sort of thing. It's like an hour ago, but we teased a celebrity's junk being out there.
Mm, yeah.
I haven't seen the picture. I must admit, in the last few days, I did find out who it is. I did not.
You know what? Valdez, have you found it? So Chris Evans. Huh?
So what do you think?
All right. Will you put it in the...
the hangout.
Put it in the hangout.
Chris Evans is a big name, right?
Yeah. I don't know Chris Evans.
All you got to do is just search... Chris Evans, blank.
I did. I couldn't find the daggone thing.
Captain America's blank.
Yeah.
All right. Is he most famous for Captain America? What else has he done, Cakes?
Let me wiki him. He's been in a bunch of movies, but he's by far most famous.
America.
He's most famous for being part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So here's the thing. He's got 6 million followers on Twitter.
Yep.
And I don't know how he did it. But somehow he just accidentally posted it.
He was in Knives Out, if you saw that. Did you see Knives Out, Rick?
No.
Hold on. Knives Out. Who was in Knives Out?
Chris Evans. Daniel Craig. Anna DiArmas.
Oh, it was in a video.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah, I saw Knives Out.
Of course you did, Rick.
Oh, all right. Chris Evans played the brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
That picture's so hurting.
That is a hurting picture.
I don't want to see it.
I'm looking at it right now.
I know, because you enjoy pictures like that.
I did. Now I'm just looking at it.
Noel, I can't. I'm sorry.
Now, is he said he was sending this to his girlfriend or wife?
What yeah, how does that happen?
I don't even know what his marital status
It was like in his recent pictures.
But the thing is, it's a video.
I read the story, though.
No.
There wasn't a caption with it. Like, he was, it sounded like he was maybe sexting back and forth. That's what I gathered.
Guarantee you he was hammered at the time.
The problem is, I understand it's a still image, but you see it says 33 seconds.
Yeah, let me explain it. You guys are just all over the
place. Yeah, Valdez, let the experts speak.
It when you go on your iPhone and you go through like your recent pictures,
yeah.
A whole gallery comes up of what you've taken with your iPhone or video.
A Robert.
Like, yeah, all together, like a checkerboard almost. And so that picture of his junk was in his recent photos in that gallery.
I understand completely.
So when he was like showing off his phone, people stopped it and said, "Whoa, why is he showing off his silly, you know,
nine
pictures?" How is he showing
off his phone?
He did a screen grab of his pictures.
Yeah, right. But why would he do that? I mean, that's what I don't get. It's a screen grab. I understand it's a screen grab of the gallery. And I was wrong. It's not a video because the 33 seconds
right.
is the picture
those
above.
Those are videos that he's taken that
understood.
Are in his
I understand
recent pictures.
Completely. But I don't understand how he took – it's basically a screenshot, though, of the phone. Was he, like, showing off images and videos on Twitter, and then he just happened to slide over, and there's his Johnson? Or, like, that just doesn't make sense to me. You know what I mean, Valdez?
I know what you mean.
Screen grab of, you know, five different pictures. You know, he must have been scrolling somehow. It makes no sense. I'm completely confused by it.
You're
but all I know is,
well, at some point he was sexting somebody because nobody just takes a picture for their own personal file.
You wouldn't think.
It looks like it's like sliding through his shorts, right? The way that image is, Valdez, how would you evaluate that? Like, that's coming through his boxers.
I think we have a guest on.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, this is an awkward transition.
We'll go from breaking down
no,
that
don't
to breaking
tell him
down.
What we're talking
Ask
about.
Ask Alan May.
I think he endorses Babcock.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
He wishes that was the new joke. Head coach of the Caps.
All right, but, you know, Alan knows the show. He's listened to the show a million times.
Right. He's Alan, dumber for it. On?
I hope Alan he's never May, done that.
NBC Sports Washington. What's up, Alan?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Where is hey, Alan May these days? Are you in Dallas?
He's still in D.C. Still in D.C. I haven't gone to Texas yet. No,
oh, really?
I haven't gone to Texas.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then, because of the season, he usually goes to, like, a lake house, right, during the summer. I don't even know if you're going to be able to do that, right?
No, I've already done my lake house thing because there was no hockey, so I got there earlier than ever and stayed longer than I normally do. And I would go back, but I think it's starting to get chilly up there, and I don't like cold water, so... I'll head to Texas where we still have some warm water.
Man, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Well. All right, so fill us in on Peter Laviolette.
Do you like him?
Well, you know what? He was one of the two guys that I would prefer to be the head coach of the Capitals. It was Babcock or Laviolette. And, you know, we'll just speak about Laviolette, not the guy who's not going to be here. And Laviolette's coached about 18 years, been in the finals three times. Went into Carolina in 06, a year after, you know, they had some really good hockey teams and went and immediately won a Stanley Cup. He pushes buttons. He coaches the game with fire. He's a presence behind the bench, and he commands instant respect from guys like Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, Carlson, you name all the Capitals older players, and he pushes buttons. And I think that's critically important. And I think those players that I mentioned also deserve to have a veteran coach again and a guy with a winning pedigree and the fancy stats people, the laptop people won't like Laviolette. But you know what? He wins hockey games. And as I said, three times in the finals, three different teams. I don't think any coach has ever done that. He's got a good presence. He doesn't have a lot of baggage with him as far as, you know, confrontations, conflict with players or anyone, and finds a way to get it done. And usually what he does is the first year or two within a team, he does extraordinary things and gets them to the finals. And then after that, you know, how much luck you need and, you know, you need luck, you need health, and obviously you got there from a good system and good coaching.
Alan, is it overblown about, you know, like coaches yelling at players if Laviolette is tougher than Reardon was on the players? Like, haven't these guys been getting yelled at by coaches since they're like 5 years old? Well, I mean, you think that Alex Ovechkin's Russian coaches growing up weren't screaming at him in Russian to try to get him to be a better player? Is it overblown that Laviolette is going to, God forbid, upset these hothouse orchids that are skating around for the Washington Capitals or any other team, these delicate flowers?
Well, if Twitter would tell you yes, that you're not allowed to raise your voice or be honest with anyone. But, you know, the players do appreciate when coaches, they want give and take from coaches. And players also believe and trust in a coach that will go after one of their teammates. And even if it's them that confronts them on this, and John Tortorella, who I absolutely love as a head coach, is huge on the confrontations, but he doesn't have a problem going back and forth with the player, but they're trying to get to the same place. And you'll notice, you know, the teams that do that, the players do it to each other as well. So the coach doesn't have to do it as much. So I'm big on, you know, the tough love environment within a team. And believe me, all these guys know how to speak to the players, and it's not just a one-way thing. And everyone thinks that a direct coach, it's all negative all the time. But really, they communicate, and they let the players know exactly what they want them to do, and they'll confront them when they don't do it. When you have a player making the same mistake over and over, you want, as a teammate, you want the coach to confront that guy. The players will start to confront that guy because you've got to eliminate that behavior from the game. And then the good coaches, in my opinion, when that player, if he continues to make the same mistake, you take his ice time. And I don't think we saw enough of that the last couple of years. So to me, it's critically important that you have a coach that pushes buttons. And you can't just stand there. You can't sit on the bench and not do anything and just continue to roll four lines. I like coaches that, you know, cut bait early and just let guys, you know, Mike Keenan was one of the best coaches in the National Hockey League at doing it. He'd go down to six forwards in the first period and mishmash those six guys together and not worry about the other guys. But he was trying to create an environment of competitiveness and doing the right thing and being ready to play from the drop of the puck. So, you know, I'm big on coaches that definitely push buttons.
Alan, I'm just curious. Peter Laviolette didn't play in the NHL but 12 games, according to what I saw. But did you overlap with him in the minors? He had a 10-year minor league career. You were in the minors for different teams, traded around different organizations. You know, you were with the Caps for 5 years. Did you overlap, play with him, play against him? What was it like?
No, I didn't. I don't think he was in the American. He definitely wasn't in the American League when I was in the American League, and he wasn't in the NHL when I was in the NHL. So I don't believe I've ever played a game against him. And not that it matters, but I just don't think I did. And as you said, you know, he didn't make the NHL. Boston's defense at the time when he was a Bruins farmhand was just a little too good for guys to be making. They were loaded back in the day. So sometimes where you get signed and where you get drafted are really important to making it, because some teams, when I got traded to the Edmonton Oilers, they were way too damn good for me to ever believe that I'd get in the lineup with all the Hall of Famers they had.
Yeah.
And probably the toughest right winger in the league at the time, 350 goal scorers on right wing. There was no way to make that team. So sometimes it's just bad circumstances for guys why they didn't make it.
Yeah, but did you get to hang with the guys, though?
Yeah, you do get to hang with the guys. But the bottom line is, when you're in the NHL, today's NHL is a little bit different. But when I played, you wanted to play. The bottom line is, you want to get your first game in. You know, you always say, I'd give anything. I'd give a leg to play just one game. And you wouldn't ever want to. You play that one game, you want two, you want 100, you want, you know, then, you know, I'm envious every time I see the guys that get to 1,000. And I think, God, that how much fun that would have been to play, be able to play that long with that many players and teams would have been outstanding. So the bottom line is, you do want to play, and you don't feel like you're part of the team when you're only playing a handful of games a season.
Right. Well, you had a nice run, Alan. We appreciate you jumping on. Enjoy your off season, because who knows when the regular season is actually going to start.
Yeah, we'll see you in January or February, guys.
Yep, that's right. Looking that way.
It'll be a while.
All right.
Yep,
thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, Alan.
Take care.
That's Alan May from NBC Sports Washington. Hey, need to let you know, when it comes to complex IT integration, nobody does it better than Software AG Government Solutions. Software AG's web methods is the world's most capable integration platform. The mandate for the government's clear: integration and modernization of IT. Learn why the most innovative government agencies turn to Software AG to tackle their toughest integration challenges. Complex IT simplified. Visit softwareaggov.com. That's softwareaggov.com. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Right now, I'm going to hook up the listeners with a copy of NBA 2K21 if you can be the 10th caller at 800-636-1067, the very popular caller 10 game. This year, my players are going to start in high school. Then you go on to 10 officially licensed colleges, then on to the NBA, and you can star there in NBA 2K21. Everything is game. Out now on Xbox One, PS4, Nintendo Switch, PC, and Stadia, courtesy of Got Game. So give us a call now at 800-636-1067.
All right, real quick, I got to give a couple shout-outs. First of all, I got to thank Matt Carlin from Circa. So we were over the weekend, we were in Foggy Bottom, and I texted Lurch, and I was like, hit up your boy.
Right.
I
reach
see that
out.
Circa over there on the corner.
And see if he can hook me.
It's calling out at the family. We're thinking about dinner. And it made a few magical texts, and we had an amazing meal. I swear, I've said it a million times before, Cakes. What's my go-to appetizer at Circa?
It's you the know, tuna tartare, isn't it?
The tuna tacos.
Tuna
the nacho tacos. The poke tacos, whatever they call them.
They're delicious.
They are spectacular.
Yep, they are good, man.
I can't,
that's a great
I
spot.
I can't recommend it enough. So just hit up Circa. They got quite a few locations. I can't wait to go to the one back by Nats Park again. And then got to give a shout-out to Propane Taxi. Stop lugging that tank. They came
Love
by,
them.
And they lugged a couple tanks over for me and swapped out a few. So we are straight.
And did
so thank
Julie
you.
Donaldson respond to your tweet where you're begging for free gear?
Crickets
for
anywhere?
For whatever reason, going through Julie, who's a communications person over there.
Well, I mean, we're friendly with Julie. Julie's been
well,
to
she
our...
can she can communicate to the equipment guy.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
That Bickle listen, wants to get hooked.
Listen, here's the thing. You know, this is like free advertising, and we're on TV every day. We love everybody over at NBC Sports Washington. Why should I mean I should have better than the old? This is like a uniform. I should have better than the old jerseys, right, Cakes? I need to have the current gear.
I mean, you as a diehard WFT fan, you should have the latest and greatest in their merch.
I think it's fair. I think it's safe to say, Drabby, I don't know if you want to chime in on this. I think it's safe to say I got to be, because of this show, one of the more high-profile Skins fans in town. I'm on TV every day. I'm a
probably
blatant
are.
Fan.
Yep.
You're on every day.
Every day. I got to be in the top 10. I got to be in the top. Everyone else has got to be objective. They don't care if they win or lose.
Correct.
I freaking care.
Yep, that is true.
And I'm on camera, so why Let's would see. They want to hook me?
Kevin Durant, Wale,
well,
Matthew
no, those
McConaughey.
Guys, those guys, of course. But, I mean, in town, they're not on a TV every day.
EB is on TV more than Wale, not
Julie,
more than Kevin Durant.
Do you think Julie would rather send you a T-shirt or KD?
Of course. I understand that. Well, that's just because she wants to schmooze KD. But come on.
But why can't she send both of them?
Right.
She can. Eric's ranking
I was mostly,
is where he's at in
I
the
was
fandom
mostly
meter.
Teasing when I sent that to Julie.
No, you were fishing. You
of
weren't
course,
teasing, you
send,
were fishing.
I mostly was, because if I really wanted to do it, I would DM her or something. It was mostly just kind of a joke.
I don't know, man. You ran the joke on the radio show.
That was a good
joke. It's not a joke. It really is not a joke.
And don't, no, no, I would
and
take it 100%.
Don't use it as a smokescreen. You're asking for right. a free jersey.
Yeah.
It's groveling.
Is yes, he is.
Correct. And but I, if
it's
I really
not,
wanted
it's not
it,
tongue
why
in cheek.
Wouldn't I... If I really wanted it, I would just DM her.
No, because that's super embarrassing.
Yeah, because
this cuts back. This yeah. cuts,
this,
cuts
know,
back the
know.
Embarrassment
created
factor.
A cover, but
it's so it's actually cringeworthy.
He actually is trying to do the exact same thing, whether it was DM or public. But by doing it public, he can throw in the excuse, "Well, I was kind of joking."
Well, I mean, I am making a goof about it when I make it a tweet to Julie.
Talked about it before. You talked about it on the radio, followed up by a tweet.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right, of course. I mean, I would take it. If she sent it to me, I would
take
it.
Of course you would.
Right, of course. Of course.
So if she doesn't respond, are you going to go on Fanatics and buy some?
I would get a hat or something, or a t-shirt. I'm not spending $150 for a jersey.
You can buy a $30 ugly Washington football team t-shirt on Fanatics.
Yeah, you think Tutcher or Rich are asking for a Cam Newton jersey?
I don't know.
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know what they do.
We're joning on him. But tomorrow we have Mike Rizzo on. He'll be on Fridays on twice this week. We should probably hit him up for outgoing 2020 gear.
All I know is
there's not much time to hit him up on that.
Every team in town has provided us gear through the years. So that's all. I don't have any shame in it.
Or rings.
Rings, too.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I think that's kind of gone to Eric's head a little bit.
You'll never see a ring from Washington.
The rings?
Yeah. The Nationals and the Caps are giving you guys rings and everything. So now Eric thinks that every team needs to be giving him something.
And then
the Reds or the Washington football team, since they don't have a ring to give Eric, you know, he's asking for a jersey.
No, that's not true. I mean, if you look back at the long history of the show, pretty much all of the local teams have always just given us stuff to sport on the show. It's a fact.
True.
Just a fact.
It goes back to, I mean, I think the
goes
very
back
first
20
time,
years.
It goes back further than that. I think the very first time that we got free gear, like DC United, we used to have a great relationship.
I still
wear
it all the time.
Yeah, he used to send us DC United gear.
I have a ton of it.
Back when like Richie Williams was starring with the team.
The Wizards would send us so much gear. The Nats, we got a great hookup with the Nats. That's all. Just a little friendly shout out.
Well,
to
some
Julie.
Look, some teams
hey,
like
us. What happened to our guy? You know, the guy with the beard came in studio with
the. Yeah, the Nats haven't given you anything in a long time besides the ring.
That's not true at all. You don't know what I have.
What are they sending you?
Dude, where do you think I got all my hats? We had shirts. They gave us bags of stuff.
The hats was a long time ago.
No, Eric's taking advantage of a listener.
Oh, you are?
you are so emboldened
with your begging right now.
Right.
Is that
all
you're
that
just
begging and all that gear, and he still wears that trifling top.
That Under Armour.
He's been wearing that trifling top for years.
This is silly.
Blue and white zigzags. What is that pattern?
It's a Zuba sweatshirt.
Hey, I'll only stick up for it because it's Under Armour. And your boy is long on the Under Armour.
You mean
long
unathletic?
Yeah, walk on the unathletic. Yes.
Stevie must be freezing without his hoodie.
Hey, I like it. This one I actually paid for.
Not much, hopefully.
Done. $5? Maybe $40.
Like, lots nice. Of Joan
they,
in
they
today.
Fleeced you for that.
Yeah, fleeced. I see what you did there, buddy.
Yeah, it's warm. Perfect time. No, of course I would take it, but it was kind of tongue-in-cheek. Absolutely. I don't know what you mean about that. I mean, I love getting the rings. I think they're awesome. But I feel like your
hook job swagger is higher than
ever
right now.
You would trade the rings in 2 seconds for?
I think we deserved an Emmy for table manners.
Oh, an Emmy.
Yeah, I want an Emmy.
I'd rather have the rings.
No, I'd rather have an Emmy that we earned than just the rings
that we didn't earn.
We didn't earn nothing.
But actually, one's more valuable down the road.
Them. Yeah, but I'm not looking to sell like you are. Constantly.
I think you guys, I actually got together
hey,
with an old.
When times get tight, you might, my friend.
What's the pawn shop going to give you for an Emmy?
Let me know how it is when you're paying Ivy League tuition.
What's funny about that thing I swear. I got together with an old friend last week who happens to have an Emmy, and I told him, I was like, that would probably drive EB nuts.
Right. Yeah, everyone in town's got an Emmy except the junks, and it just kills
just no
me.
Respect.
Just
it's
kills
no respect.
Me. We've done good TV now for years. So, anyway, kills me. Maybe this show. You know what would be funny is the Zoom shows, which are poop, right. If they get an Emmy. You know, because I don't like the way it looks, but whatever.
How about desiring a radio award? That'd make your
There's
producers.
There's no such thing.
There's Marconi's.
I don't want
all the Marconi's.
They have no clout.
I'd rather have macaroni.
I mean, I think years ago, who used to put out like awards? It was like an old school quarterback that was somehow involved. I feel like we did win some award.
Like Dick Butkus used to have
awards.
Yeah,
maybe it was Dick Butkus.
Hey, you wouldn't be psyched to be number one on the heavy hundred? Yeah, Hawkers.
Really. Nobody sees that. It's
we were number five. We were number five. We barely talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, no one cares. No one knows what that is.
We were ahead of Angelo Cataldi, though.
Right.
I think we slipped. I think we slipped in the last one.
But still ahead of him.
Still ahead, yeah.
Us morons and dumbbells.
Dumbbells in Washington.
Right. Well, that's all right. You guys keep joning.
Lots of joning. Lots of bitterness over there behind the glass.
Joan, but if you get
you
a large,
bitter.
Sounds
ship
like it.
It away.
No, I want an extra large or whatever it is. I don't even know what the 52.
Hey, look, some teams like us better than others.
Yeah, but I feel like it might be changing. I think Washington might be, you know, some of those bad guys are gone now.
Well, you guys talk to Jason Wright. Maybe you should know. That's who you should link up with.
Jason Wright is actually good friends with D. D's a big fan of his, which, who, by the way, wants to come on. So, Drab, hit me up. We can lock him in. He can do
lock it up.
D would be good to talk about the return to play. The NFL's killed it with their protocols and everything that they're doing in their return to play.
Correct.
Yeah. So, I think he'd be really good, actually.
By the way, I saw an article about ratings. So, like, the ratings for CBS's game, which was the Saints against the Patriots, was up, right? And so, at first glance, they're like, well,
Saints Bucks.
Saints Bucks, sorry. Yeah. That it was up from last year, that the ratings were up. And so the NFL was excited about that. But then when they looked at the numbers, they figured, well, it might be tough to repeat that because they got like a 30 share in New England. So all the Patriots fans were curious to see, which is a huge local number, which helped the national number to see whether that'll continue. Because I know the Thursday night football game was way down.
I wonder what the
and that's surprising because of the matchup.
I wonder what Washington did because, you know, I think people were kind of unsure.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it's a bandwagon town. I expect the viewership will be up pretty significantly for week two. That's what I think.
And I tell you what.
Well, I'll be flipping back and forth. I'll be doing previous channel.
Previous
channel. Skins and then back to the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Football.
Two TVs. Gotta get out of here, boys. Granddaddy, they're up next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.